The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The Hard Shoulder, it's Anton in for Kieran. A bill which is seeking to end discrimination against cancer survivors when it comes to accessing financial products is currently making its way through the Oireachtas. It is Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin South Central, Catherine Ardaz, bill, and she joins me now in studio. You're very welcome, Catherine.
Thank you very much, Anton.
The discrimination that you are seeking to end, what is it?
So ultimately, what I'm saying and what we're all saying is nobody should have to relive a cancer diagnosis when they're applying for a mortgage. It should be a sort of a hopeful time. It's like an exciting time for anyone buying their new home if they're in that position. And what my bill intends to do is that the bill will legally require financial institutions to disregard someone's cancer diagnosis if they are in remission for more than 5 years. So really, it means that if you've had a cancer diagnosis, you're in remission, that you won't be penalised for that.
Now, this would sound brutally unsympathetic, but capitalism tends to be. Mm-hmm. Will the insurers and financial product manufacturers not say, well, look, we have to factor in the likelihood of someone's capacity to pay this debt back, and if there is an increased risk to their life, that has to be factored in?
And that's a really fair question. And I've been carrying this bill around, I think, since 2022. And since that time, the bill started life in the Seanad, where it ended up in committee stage with huge support from on a cross-party basis, and also from the Irish Cancer Society and from the then Minister for Finance, now Commissioner Michael McGrath. And on foot of our bill going to the Senate, the Seanad Insurance Ireland introduced a voluntary code. The voluntary code set out that if you were in remission for more than 7 years, your diagnosis would not be considered when coming up with the premium. Since that time, Insurance Ireland have actually done a research and have reviewed how that voluntary code is working. And also since that time, myself and the now Minister, Robert Troy, have had serious engagement with Insurance Ireland, along with the Irish Cancer Society. And they are now on board, having those concerns in the first place, but they are now on board with this legislation. So, you know,
because they feel the voluntary code is not enough. Is that what it is?
No, they feel the voluntary code is working and would now like to see a version of the voluntary code, which is reflected in my bill, put on a legislative footing.
And the logic of your bill is that if you are 5 years in remission, your likelihood, your survival rate and your mortality projections are the same as somebody who's never had cancer?
More or less, yeah. And that's what this isn't something that I'm not like, starting this. This is all across Europe and France. I think President Macron has introduced the right to be forgotten in his first presidential campaign nearly 20 years ago. In Belgium and the Netherlands, this is something that Ireland is really just catching up when it comes to right to be forgotten legislation.
What are the financial products and services that it will apply to?
So it won't apply. I think the easiest way to say is my bill would like it to apply to all financial products. From our negotiations with Insurance Ireland and what we sort of, you know, we're happy to get, I'm happy for this bill to get started. It probably won't apply to income protection. We are hoping it will apply to travel insurance. I really strongly believe that people should. A lot of people I speak to are afraid to go on holidays in case their cancer comes back. It's just something you're living with and you don't want to travel too far. I think travel insurance should be included. I think I'd really like to see that included in the bill. But most importantly, it will apply to mortgage protection, life insurance.
Now, I know this, again, seems unsympathetic, but is for travel insurance, is cancer, I think when people think about travel insurance, they think of acute risk. I get in a car accident, I break a leg, I have a heart attack, those kind of things. Is cancer the kind of thing that requires travel insurance? Because presumably if you have a fear of a recurrence, there is immediacy, but there isn't, I have to get this scanned in the next 2 days.
I'm not a doctor, but it depends on the cancer. Some cancers are obviously quite aggressive and some are less aggressive. So,
is there any concern in industry or anywhere else that this may increase costs across the board? Because, of course, the costs, if the actuaries think there are costs implicit in this, that gets handed out to somebody, which means other consumers.
Well, and that was probably one of the fears of the industry originally in 2022, but it's actually not borne out in their own research and it's not borne out across Europe, in France, in Belgium. So really what we're not looking for sympathy. Cancer survivors have, you know, put in the hard slog recovering. They're just looking for equality. And that's what I'm hoping what the Right to Be Forgotten legislation will do.
I assume in developing the legislation and in your work with the Cancer Society, you will have talked to the people that this inequity now impacts. What have their experiences been like? What did they say to you?
Yeah, and I have to say the Irish Cancer Society have done a huge amount of research on this. And we know that there's about 200,000, probably more, people living with cancer in Ireland. Their research suggested that nearly a quarter of those who attempted to apply for financial products like mortgages were blanket refused. So I suppose this legislation moves into that gap, and it will help not all, okay, because obviously people have varying levels of periods they've been in remission, but it will help a huge portion of that 25%, you know. So I imagine
it must act to doubly traumatise people. I mean, they come through cancer, and for the first couple of years afterwards, when you get the all clear, every yearly checkup is, it's, you know, you feel like you're playing Russian roulette, and then finally you get the 5 year, and to at the same time discover that you are locked out of the things that define normality for everybody else. That must be extremely difficult.
Yeah, and I also work as a conveyancing solicitor, and I see it a lot where you might have a deal. Someone goes, they go sale agreed on a house, they get their loan offer, we're set a date for closing, and we might be closing, say, next Friday. I'm like, Anton, make sure your life insurance is in place. And you ring me maybe midweek being like, Catherine, we never even thought about it, but Anton had, you know, I had cancer, you know,
3 years ago,
a few years ago, and we have to, you know, they won't give us anything, and we can't afford the premiums. They're too expensive. And I have seen cases like that where fortunately you can pull out of the contract, but the disappointment is huge that you can't draw your mortgage down because you can't access the product. And it really is sometimes as an afterthought for people. So it's quite serious. It's a small tweak in the legislation, but I think it will really help a lot of people.
You described it, I mean, you didn't use this term, but you sort of described it as a bit of a thin end of the wedge where hopefully you may be able to encompass other financial products. Is that a realistic prospect? Does getting initial legislation help with widening it out to be a broader catch-all?
I can understand why income protection might be a tricky one. I'm not an actuary. I don't work in the insurance sector. I'm a politician and a solicitor. So I can understand why we mightn't win the fight when it comes to income protection. I'm happy to concede that on the basis that I win the fight when it comes to mortgage protection.
There will undoubtedly be people, I mean, if the numbers that you gave, a 200,000 cohort who have had cancer or currently have, and 50,000 who have found themselves shut out of these products. So there'll be people listening who are in the bracket that you're describing. How long will they have to wait before this legislation makes its way through both houses and finally becomes the law?
I don't know, how long is a piece of string? Listen, we're really pushing it. And I know Minister Troy is really behind this piece of legislation. He would like to see second stage concluded before we break in July. And then hopefully before Christmas, we might see a committee in the Dáil. And then it will go to and then final stages, and then it will go to the Senate.
And how long then before, once it's enacted as legislation, does it become an immediate thing that simply applies from that point on? Or is there a grace period for the companies to start to adjust?
It applies immediately once it's signed by the minister and once the legislation is commenced.
Lastly, you talked about the current voluntary policy. If anybody has found themselves turned down and that voluntary policy does apply, is there a route of recourse? Is there somewhere that you can go to complain or get support? Is there an ombudsman who can put a bit of pressure on?
It's obviously a voluntary code. But you can go to the Financial Services Ombudsman to make complaints in relation to matters. And also a good idea if you're not, if the voluntary code isn't being applied, contact, you know, my office or your local representative who can also bring matters, especially to the floor of the Senate or the Dáil.
Catherine, thank you very much. That is Catherine Arda, who is Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin South Central.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.